Good morning and welcome to The Bridge. I'm Kate Brister. A different format. The Bridge is closed today so that we may broadcast Talk of Our Towns from Wednesday, August 19th. Host Donna Quinn welcomes Astoria City Manager Brett Estes and Community Development Director Kevin Cronin. Among their topics today, they'll discuss the Riverfront Vision Plan and the chip-in event being held August 22nd.
Good morning, I'm Donna Quinn, and for the next half hour, you'll be listening to Talk of Our Towns. There are a lot of changes in the city of Astoria, and today we're going to find out what's going on. We have in the studio Brett Estes. He is the City of Astoria City Manager. Hi, Brett.
Good morning.
Very glad you're here today.
Thank you very much.
And we also have in the studio our brand new Community Development Director for the City of Astoria, Kevin Cronin. Hi, Kevin.
Good morning.
We're looking forward to hearing out about you today, finding
Great.
Out a little bit about your background and history. Before we talk about City of Astoria issues and developments, Brett, please tell us a bit about yourself.
Sure. So I have been the Astoria City Manager officially for almost a year, since September of last year. I've been in Astoria for almost 8 years. I came to Astoria in 2007 as the city's community development director, and I love Astoria, love the community, and really appreciate the opportunity to be able to serve as the city manager moving on from the community development director.
And are you still in touch with Paul Benoit, I bet?
I am still in touch with Paul, and Paul pops back in town periodically, and it's great to be able to see him and Connie when they come back into our community for a visit. They have their children living here now, so they have a reason to come visit.
Exactly. Well, we're really grateful that you're here, that you stayed, and that you became our city manager after being the community development director. And then you had a lot of responsibility because you had to suddenly look for a new community development
That's director. Correct. And we're very happy to have Kevin Cronin on board as our new community development director. He's been here for about a month and is doing a great job.
All right, let's hear from Kevin Cronin. Kevin, please tell us about yourself.
Yes, so I just moved to Astoria. I'm brand new to the city and Astoria. I literally just moved this past weekend with my family into a new house just above LeClaire Park. So literally, I'm rolling down the hill every morning to go to work and just putting in some very long days trying to learn a brand new community, but just having an absolute blast doing it every day. It's been a pleasure working with Brett and the leadership team and for the council and all the projects that we've got going on.
Tell us about yourself, where you
Absolutely. So mm-hmm. I came from working with the Portland Development Commission, living in inner city Portland. So the interesting thing about that is I was working in the Lentz neighborhood, which is a very sort of low-income neighborhood. It was actually a small city before it got annexed into the city of Portland. So I was actually, even though I was working in Portland, I was still working in a small town, so to speak. So I'm simply extending my work, working in a small town, but now working in Astoria. And I've been in the public sector for over 15 years doing city planning and development. So I bring a lot of experience and new perspectives to the community, but at the same time, there's just such an institutional memory here that I want to take advantage, including Brett's experience as the prior director.
So where did you grow up then? Did you grow up in Portland?
So I actually grew up on the East Coast. I actually grew up on a hobby farm outside Philadelphia, about an hour north of Philadelphia. So I am a huge Eagles fan and Phillies fan and all the sports fans, but I have not been back there for quite some time. I really call it Oregon my home. I've been in Oregon now for close to 20 years, and I don't know if I can qualify as an Oregonian yet, since I have not been born here, but Oregon is near and dear to my heart.
I think you can choose to be an Oregonian,
yes.
Absolutely, just like people can choose to be an Astorian.
Right.
So when you lived in Portland, you were in Portland doing city planning for how long?
I was doing it for about 12 years.
And did you interact with the city of Astoria?
I really didn't. I actually met Brett a long, long time ago when he was at the city of Hillsborough, and then I read actually through the League of Oregon Cities website that Brett got the job in Astoria. So it's really interesting how our careers have intersected now as me here as the new director and Brett as the city manager. And that was one of the things that actually attracted me to the position, was the opportunity to work with Brett.
And how had you come to Astoria before on a vacation, or did you know much about Astoria?
So I think one of the advantages I had in the interview process is I actually knew Astoria pretty well before I had applied for the position, because I literally have spent a ton of time here with my family over the years. I remember staying at the Commodore with my wife for Mother's Day weekend. We actually gave the kids away for the weekend and were able to stay here for the weekend, and just really fell in love with it. Last summer, I was out at Fort Stevens with my son for a whole week doing our annual man camp, where we get to have a kind of a male bonding week.
And how old is your son?
My son is 9. He'll be a fourth grader at Lewis and Clark. It's been just a wonderful experience every time I come out here. And I've always kind of thought to myself, wow, would it be really cool to work in a small town and get to work in Astoria at the same time? So, lo and behold, here I am.
And there is a lot that's happened in Astoria over the last decade. As Brett, maybe you could explain, since you moved here, you've been here 8 years, what are the changes you've seen in this small town?
Sure. I mean, it's I've seen Astoria grow in popularity, not only as a a place to visit, but a place to live. It's amazing. You go and I visit my friends in Portland and Seattle, and meet new people, and they say, "Well, where do you live?" I live in Astoria, and people say, "Wow, Astoria is such a great place. It has such a great quality of life," and it's pretty wonderful to be able to live in a place that's gives you so much pride to be able to say, I live in Astoria, and I'm part of this great community. But you know, really, some of the changes that we've seen. I mean, I look at our downtown since 2007, and we have so many buildings which were vacant at that time, which are now revitalized. We have the Commodore Hotel, which Kevin was just talking about. When I moved here, it was empty. Fort George Brewery was just starting at that point in time, hadn't moved into the level building. We keeping on with the brewery theme, Astoria Brewing Company moving into the Andrew and Steve space, Bowie Beer Company going into what was at that point in time a vacant building that was after Bornstein's had moved to the port. I'm going to say that one of the things I'm very proud of is to have worked in this community after the December 2007 storm. For me, that was a time when the community really bound together and worked together to be able to be resilient and to come after. And it was for me to be in this community only for 4 or 5 months. It was something that it was. It's one of the things I look back on with pride to be able to say I was in this community, working with the community members, binding together to work our way out.
Yes. Actually, you've just brought something up that I think is important. Kevin, has anyone yet told you what SISU, S-I-S-U, means?
No.
Okay, you're going to see that on bumper stickers. SISU is a Finnish word. It essentially means guts, intestinal fortitude. You can make it through. I mean, and the Finnish, and of course we have a large Scandinavian population here in Astoria, but the Finns look at that and they say, yeah, if you have SISU, then you can do about anything. And this town has SISU. It has that gritty authenticity. It has that in order to deal with the weather. Of course, the weather's changing, it seems, right now, but in order to deal with living here during, huge storms and lashing rain, you have SISU. So SISU comes after you're here for a while and you see that the town and the people actually have it. Brett, what are the things that I know Kevin's going to talk a little bit about, some of the things he's already working on. For you as city manager, when you look at what's going on in the city of Astoria right now, what are some of the things you would like to let folks know that are happening that maybe they don't know? Obviously, we've got street repair and sewers.
Right. So I'll touch on that, but I want to just maybe briefly touch on some of the changes we've seen within our organization over the past year. Since I was appointed city manager, we have a new police chief, Brad Johnston, being promoted from the deputy police chief to our police chief. And, Brad's been in our community for a long time and really is doing a stand-up job at the helm of the police department, but also filled the vacant position for our finance director at the same time that Paul Benoit took a position down in California. Our finance director Mark Carlson did the same thing, and we had the vacancy there. And then Kevin's going to touch on a little bit, I hope, about some of the changes within the community development department. We had Rosemary Johnson, our long-term planner, retire, and really seeing some rebuilding of staff, some changes in staff, some new faces. And I think that change is good, because we're getting some from new perspectives, some fresh perspectives, people who really love and respect this place and are proud to be here, like Kevin was saying. Our new finance director, Susan Brooks. Susan has lived in the community for a number of years, once worked for the city of Astoria, moved on to Tongue Point, and came back to the city, and just proud to have all those people on board. We've seen quite a few changes on our city council. We have, you know, Arlene Lemire, our first new mayor in 24 years, and two new city councilors with Councilor Cindy Price and Councilor Zeddy Nimblewill. I think the council is doing a great job in getting on their feet and really starting to tackle some tough issues, and it's fun working with them.
There's a lot happening right now, and there's going to be, as Astoria becomes, as you're saying, more popular, a more desirable place, not only for tourists, vacationers, but also for people to relocate. There are going to be pressures that really maybe the city hasn't had to deal with in the past.
Right, right. You know, and Donna, you mentioned the issue about sewers, and we have two pretty large public works infrastructure projects going on in the city right now, and the timing overlapping is something that it was inevitable with some funding mechanisms. But the first one was the replacement of the Irving Street Bridge, and that project's been going on for over a year now. And you mentioned the weather a little bit earlier. The good thing about, I guess, the drier weather is our construction projects are moving along without any rain delays. So the Irving Street Bridge project, it will be completed on schedule this coming October. So we'll be seeing that major roadway open back up to be able to provide that locals route to get to Safeway from downtown, or from people who live on the east side downtown. I know that a lot of people are missing that route, especially in these busy traffic times. The other thing is the other big public works project that's ongoing is our 16th Street combined sewer overflow project, and that's the road work which is going on from downtown up towards the college, where we are working to separate storm and sanitary sewer lines. This is part of the ongoing combined sewer overflow project that we're needing to address some water quality issues to avoid any fines from the EPA, and to avoid dumping of raw sewage in the winter time when we have large amounts of rain. But one thing I do want to highlight about that is the project is moving forward. We're actually going through and continuing to do some of the paving on the streets, going after the work is done, doing some repaving work. But we have one issue that's come up that's going to have some delay on the project. And it's dealing with 16th Street around the Clatsop Community College. The community college, as you know, had received voter approval for a bond to be able to provide matching funds for a grant received from the state to rebuild Patriot Hall. And with that project, there's need to utilize the 16th Street right away for some demolition work and some construction of that building. And it's providing some conflicts with our combined sewer overflow project, where that work can't happen simultaneously. What we are doing is we've been working with the college, and at the city council meeting, which was held
Monday night,
the city council provided direction that we would hold off on the work on 16th Street until next summer.
Okay, so that means 16th Street will not be part of the sewer project this summer.
This summer.
And, but it's, so it's like from 8th to 18th Street kind of sort of?
Well, it's actually from 14th Street over to 17th, 18th. But,
okay.
But that the 16th Street corridor will be held off until next summer. And this will allow the community college to complete their project and move forward. And then we'll come back and remobilize next summer and get that roadway.
So then next summer it will only be 16th Street being done because all the rest of it will be finished.
That's correct.
And it'll be finished by.
We're looking at it'll having the punch list wrapped up by year's end. We'll see most of the roads repaved by October, with some final punch list items going through December.
Is it a two-step process, Brett? Do they tear it apart and then leave it that way, and then go off and do other things, and then come back and pave it later, or do they tear it apart and then replace and restore and do what needs to be done and then pave it?
So it depends on some timing depending on okay. the work that's being done, but also we're looking at getting a certain amount of paving done all at one time to be able. If you're looking at mobilizing paving crews, you want to be able to be doing a certain number of streets so that we're not making multiple hauls of asphalt out to.
So there's your strategic plan. It's happening because obviously a lot of locals are like, "What? Where? How do we get around this?" So there is a plan right. in mind. The whole thing has been thought out,
and we know that it's stressful for our citizens, and we just always ask for patience while we get through this. We had the same thing when we did the CSO project on the east side of downtown. The good thing is we're not having to get into the heart of downtown like we did on the project a couple of years ago where we had to rebuild the intersection of 8th and Commercial.
Kevin, you came into this position, and there are an awful lot of things on your plate. What is going on?
Yeah, the to-do list is enormous. Brett has done a great job of sort of managing this project, but Brett has a lot of things on his to-do list, and so I am trying to manage a huge plate that I inherited, but also new things that the council has also directed us to do. So I'm going to focus on three things for the listeners that I like to talk about. So one is an internal project, and the two are external projects. The internal project is really looking at the department and how the department functions within City Hall and how the department engages our customers. And so one of the City Council goals for this year is to streamline the development review process. Now, that can mean lots of different things. And so what we're trying to do is really kind of engage our customer base, those folks who are coming to the counter at City Hall looking for a permit. It could be a contractor. It could be any number of different citizens who engage our department. And so we want to figure out what sort of level of service do we need to be providing those customers, and how can we do it better? I mean, what are we doing well right now? So once we sort of get some of that feedback from our customers, we'll be able to start making some changes. The other half of that is the organization. So Brett mentions that there's a lot of changes in the department. Three out of the five folks in our department will be new faces. I'm one of those new faces. Rosemary is retired. I have a planner position advertised right now, so I'm hoping to get a great pool of applicants and start conducting interviews next month and have someone on board maybe by probably October right now, I'm saying. And then our building official, Jack Applegate, left for another opportunity. So David Kloss, who is the county building official, is providing service to the city right now, and David's doing a fantastic job. But Brett is right. We need to take a look at how to provide that service moving forward. So there's the organizational standpoint, and then there is the sort of the customer service, or how do we deliver services to our customers. And so that is obviously a big task. The two external projects that I want to highlight is first is Heritage Square. We mentioned that there was a city council meeting last night. As the Astoria Development Commission, they have approved to issue what's called a request for qualifications. That will go out to, we'll advertise that here very shortly to bring a professional services contract, essentially an architect, maybe a developer, maybe other type of professional services that are going to help us really help design and look at what goes on to Heritage Square. In addition to Heritage Square itself, that sort of large site, that empty hole that we do not like looking at is the existing library site. So what happens to the existing library site if we move the library over to Heritage Square? So those are two really major questions that we're going to try and wrestle with. And we're going to have these consultants that are going to help sort of have that conversation with the community. So look for more information. Hopefully you'll invite me back and we can talk about this project in the future. I'd like to do a robust public involvement process. I think the council demands it. And we're definitely going to try and deliver something where folks can get involved and really kind of tell us what they want.
Yes, Heritage Square. Okay, that's big.
And then, so the last project is the Riverfront Vision Plan. I've got the expert sitting next to me here, so he can talk about the planning process that went into the actual vision plan that was adopted in 2009. The piece that I'm really focused on right now, and Rosemary is focused on as kind of a contract planner for me, is looking at the Civic Greenway, which is the phase three of a four-phase project. The Civic
Neighborhood Greenway.
See, that's why we have an extra next to
Okay, all right.
Neighborhood Greenway. Yes. Thank you, Brett. So the Neighborhood Greenway is essentially the Alderbrook neighborhood. Alderbrook is just a fantastic neighborhood, very unique neighborhood within the city. We're holding a town hall with the Alderbrook neighborhood at the Hampton Inn from 6 to 8 p.m. this Thursday, August 20th. So please come on out if you want to learn more about the Riverfront Vision Plan and how it applies to that particular section of the Riverfront Vision Plan, particularly in the Alderbrook neighborhood.
Good. The Riverfront Vision Plan is definitely one of those hot button issues here. Mm-hmm. I think as there's more traffic, more people coming, more pressure probably from development, people are wanting to know how do they protect their views and what is the riverfront going to look like. So this is an opportunity for you to weigh in tomorrow night, Thursday, August 20th from 6 to 8 at the Hampton Inn. There will be a town hall meeting, and Kevin will be there to hear your comments.
And members of the Planning Commission will be
members of the Planning Commission will be there.
Yeah, I do want to note, Donna, you know, that with this this neighborhood greenway area with an Alderbrook neighborhood, really this area is a little bit different than maybe some of the two prior areas, because really it's dealing with neighborhood preservation issues. So the neighborhood greenway is while it's definitely important, it maybe has some of the issues dealing with the overwater development that we dealt with in the Bridge Vista and Civic Greenway areas, maybe are not quite as pressing here in the Alderbrook. Definitely important for those residents, definitely important for our community, but really focusing on neighborhood
You're
preservation.
You're right. It's very different from the other sections of the Riverwalk. Absolutely. Okay. And then you also mentioned that there is a chip-in on the Riverwalk on Saturday.
That's correct. So 9 to noon this Saturday, the next chip-in event will happen down at the Riverwalk. And so if you you have a little time to spare, we would love to get the Riverwalk cleaned up and put our best face forward on the Riverwalk.
A chip-in is a work party provided
at,
and the Estuary Parks and Recreation does that. Where on the Riverwalk? There are so many places to be
right
on the Riverwalk.
So we're asking folks to be able to park over at the Aquatic Center,
okay,
the Estuary Aquatic Center, and we're having the sign-in to be at the Maritime Museum Barbie Center. The old train depot is the place where we're asking folks to be able to sign in. We're asking people to bring, if they have tools like loppers, gloves, pruners, to bring those along with them. We'll have some equipment, but if the volunteers can also bring that would be great. We are partnering with Columbia Riverkeepers on this event, and all the participants who participate will be getting a free t-shirt. So we'd really like to be able to, you know, get the Riverwalk cleaned up. There's some vegetation that could be pruned back and get that worked out.
Oh, that's great. So this is a wonderful opportunity for you and your family this Saturday from 9 to 12. Show up at the Barbie, the old train depot, which is now owned by the Columbia River Maritime Museum, a little before 9 a.m. And from 9 to 12, you get a free Columbia Riverkeeper t-shirt and you help clean up the Riverwalk, which is so beloved in this community and from people beyond. We only have a few minutes left. There are so many topics. We're going to have to do this again. What other things would you like the listening audience to know about what's happening in the city of Astoria?
Goodness. I mean, I'll say that you know, our city council has been taking on a number of projects recently. You know, one of the things that, you know, we had some discussion on this last Monday at our meeting was requesting the community to start voluntary conservation measures for water, and our council really is wanting to be able to get that word out. We're going to be having information that's going to be going out in the water bills. We're going to be, or there's information on the City of Astoria website in terms of ways that you can do that. Again, we're not needing to do mandatory restrictions. We're still very we're adequate with our water supply, but it's looking at how dry we've been and just asking our community members just to be conscious about the amount of water that they're using right now.
That's great, Brett. Absolutely. Kevin, anything else you'd like the listening audience to
know? Oh, my gosh. It's hard to choose from the to-do list. But one project I'm particularly excited about is having a conversation about affordable housing with the community. So we are hopefully going to be putting together a panel presentation for City Council sometime in September. So stay tuned for more information.
Okay, affordable housing. Yes. I mean, I think there are a lot of issues that are swirling around Astoria right now. You know, what's going to happen with the Riverwalk Inn, and what about development, and what about vacation rentals? Because you know, people are concerned about Cannon Beach Seaside, and we don't want to become a second home vacation rental kind of community, as Astoria has been so engaged with people. The Flavel properties, well, actually great news on that, since Greg from City Lumber bought it and is fixing it up.
Right,
local.
The Neuenhoffs own City Lumber have acquired the Flavel house, and they're putting together a plan to be able to start work on that property. And I have to tell you, we're so very excited that that the derelict building ordinance, as it's referred to, that was our tool that was put in place by our city council several years ago, is the tool that allowed us to be able to see that happen. We still do have an agreement between Mary Louise Flavel and the city with regards to the remaining properties that she owns down on Commercial Street. One set of the buildings is on the market, and we're hoping that those will also get in someone's hands to be able to do some work and address some of the building issues there. Those are going to be a challenge. I mean, there's some actual some work to do on this. The old Ben Franklin Savings Building on the corner, but we're hopeful that there's someone who acquires those and loves them, and will be able to put some money and time into those and make them a viable part of our downtown.
Well, there is a vibrancy happening here now. I mean, there's a new store opening almost every block, it feels like. There are lots of new businesses that have just opened really over the last few months. And I think more and more people are realizing that it's viable, that they can do things. And so just trying to attract economic development that's compatible with the heritage, the culture, the resources of the community, that looks like that's another big thing for the county to think about as well as for the city.
Yes.
Right. That's definitely something that I know that Kevin's been wanting to tackle in upcoming months as well. So stay tuned for more information on that.
Oh, that's great. Well, good. Well, Kevin, we're very delighted that you're here in the community. And you will hear lots of stories, because Astoria is full of stories.
Thank you so much.
And you will... Yes, it's constantly surprising here. You just never know. It's a place unlike any place I've certainly ever lived, and I think you will find that too. It's singular, wouldn't you agree, Brett?
I agree, definitely.
Yeah, not the only one of a kind here. So thank you both so much. Brett Estes, our city manager, City of Astoria, and Kevin Cronin, our brand new community development director. We will continue this conversation.
Thank you.
You've been listening to The Bridge, a production of Coast Community Radio. If you have questions or comments, we'd like to hear them. Send to News 1, that's NEWS and the numeral 1, at KMUN.org. Thanks for listening, and see you next time on The Bridge.